the church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century.
O come, O come, Emmanuel.
The 16th century.
Lord, keep us steadfast in your word. Help us to fight this evil.
The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
How do you describe it, Ray? How do you describe it going out as a champion?
It's simple. When God is for you, who can be against you?
Should scouting be open to gays?
Yes.
Why so?
Well, because I think that, you know, my attitude is that gays and lesbians should have access and opportunity the same way everybody else does in every institution and walk of life.
When God sees you, he doesn't see you as that woman who had the abortion or that man who paid for the abortion. He sees you exactly as he sees the Lord Jesus. This is my beloved child in whom I'm well pleased.
Wisconsin turkey producers, love, issues, etc.
Well, it's been a real drama for about the last year, hasn't it, with regard to the HHS contraception mandate. The Health and Human Services Department of the United States government has decided a long time ago, it seems, that it's going to try and push something with regard to the mandatory coverage of contraception. And immediately it raised the hackles of those who thought their religious liberty was being infringed. Now, just, what was it, last week, maybe a little bit more than a week ago, there was an announcement of what they were called the Notice of Proposed Rulemaking on the HHS Mandate. Some had hoped maybe that with a little more clarification, the issues of religious liberty might be resolved or at least in some way mitigated. Have they? That's the question. We're going to be talking with Daniel Blomberg here for the first few minutes of the program to talk about the legal perspective on this revision made to the HHS contraception mandate. A little bit later in the program, Issues Etc. comment line, then Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. You can join us for the next hour, 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. You can vote in advance for soundbite of the week coming up in about a half hour at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Daniel Blomberg is legal counsel for the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty, based in Washington, D.C. Daniel, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd. It's great to be here.
What has changed with the revision, and what has remained the same with the revision of the HHS contraception mandate?
Well, I'll tell you what. The one thing that is absolutely 110% clear that has not changed, that is that Americans' religious liberties are at risk. Period. Return. End of story. You know, the administration has had over a year to solve the problem that it created by forcing American businesses, nonprofits, religious institutions to pay for abortifacient drugs. And it didn't do that. It had hundreds of thousands of comments from all sorts of different people in all different walks of life saying, please, fix this problem that you've created. They didn't do it. We still have no question. I mean, if you look through this entire 80-page proposal, and it's just a proposal, it's not law, it's not anything like that, it is just a proposal. If you look through the entire 80-page proposal, the only thing you'll see about those business owners who started with their own time and energy businesses to try to bring Americans products that they wanted and give Americans jobs, and they wanted to do that without violating their conscience. The only thing you'll see is a statement that says, we don't think that we have to extend conscience rights to them. We don't think the First Amendment requires it, and so we're not going to do it. And they don't. There is nothing in there that protects the conscience rights of organizations like our client, the family business of Hobby Lobby. So it's really, really disappointing. Really disappointing. Go ahead, Todd.
Well, I guess the big legal question is, I know that there are dozens of lawsuits pending against this. But is the HHS contraception mandate unconstitutional? Is that the basic legal question here?
Well, and it's interesting you get right to that point because, you know, these businesses that I was just talking about, these family businesses that have objected to being forced for the first time to fund the taking of innocent human life, you know, these what they see as the taking of innocent human life, these abortifacient drugs, they're winning in court. There have been 14 court decisions that have been handed down. 11 of them have said, no, you can't force these folks to do this. We're putting a preliminary injunction on this. We're not going to allow it to happen, and we'll continue to go forward. So where the courts have actually gotten to the merits of this thing, they have said this is unconstitutional. This looks unconstitutional to us. It's stunning then. It's stunning that when the administration has the opportunity to fix the problem that they solved, they didn't do it, even when they've got courts all over the country telling them, yeah, this is a problem. Yeah, you shouldn't do it.
Where do we stand with this thing, Daniel? You said that this is now proposed. I know that in some sense the mandate has kicked in, if I'm not mistaken, since August. Where do we stand with regard to the HHS mandate?
That's right. The HHS mandate is kicked in. It is going. It is operative. Organizations like, again, the family business Hobby Lobby have had to restructure just to avoid having to provide these abortifacient drugs, and that restructure can only last for so long. So a lot of nonprofit religious organizations like Colorado Christian University and Wheaton University have been granted what's called a one-year safe harbor, where basically the administration has said, we're not going to enforce this law, even though it is law. The HHS mandate is law. We require you to pay for abortifacient drugs. Even though it's law, we're not going to actually enforce this against you for a year. And that's going to be up on August 1st. So what we have right now is this notice of proposed rulemaking. They've put out this proposal. Again, the proposal does nothing for religious business owners, nothing at all. It does some stuff on the exemption, which, you know, the exemption says if you're a religious ministry, you don't have to have, you know, dirty your hands at all with what we're asking. And it changes the exemption some. Some of the changes are good. Some of the changes are really bad, but none of the changes protect organizations like, for instance, Colorado Christian University and Wheaton University, these Christian universities that have been around for decades, for far longer than the administration has, and there's just nothing. There's nothing in their form. Now, they go to something, they create something, or, sorry, propose something called an accommodation. Now, the first thing to know about the accommodation is it's not an exemption. An exemption is what the First Amendment requires. It's not what's been given. The accommodation says, well, and folks are calling this an accounting gimmick. It says, we're not going to make you pay for this contraceptive abortifacient coverage. We're going to make your insurer pay for it. It's your insurer. It's your employee. They're going to get the product, but you're not going to pay for it. It's still unclear as to how that works, or even if it can work, practically speaking. The U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops put out a statement yesterday saying that this looks like it creates a second class of religious liberty in our country, that all these Christian universities and religious organizations, they don't get the exemption. They don't get the exemption that churches do. They just get this accommodation, whatever it is. And it's really, again, really disappointing that we didn't see that the administration fix the problem that it created.
If the administration wanted to fix this, how would they fix it? I mean, not how could it be fixed in your mind?
Well, it's very easily. They could say this accommodation this mandate does not apply to religious objectors, and we welcome that. You know, the administration can do that. We welcome it. We hope they will. And if they don't, then we stand ready to defend our clients in court, and so the courts can do that.
Could it be done? I mean, as simply as with a stroke of a pen, could it be done today, right now, with a simple letter from the president to Kathleen Sebelius?
I don't think it could be quite that simple because it's already been made a regulation. But the president, it was made in a regulation. It can be unmade in a regulation. This wasn't passed by Congress. This wasn't debated by our legislature. This is something that was created by the administration itself. And so the administration can fix what it created. It's not a very difficult thing to do. It just creates an exemption that applies to all religious objectors. That's what the First Amendment requires. That's what we hope the administration will do.
Where do you think it's headed realistically?
Well, realistically, there are a lot of stakeholders. I mean, religious liberty isn't a partisan issue. religious liberty is our first freedom. It's our foundational freedom. It's the freedom that protects all of us from overweening government control, no matter what government control we're talking about, whether it's a conservative or liberal or libertarian, whatever we're talking about. Religious liberty protects the freedom of Americans to live their lives as they think God wants them to. And so that's something that we can all get behind. And we really hope that the administration gets behind it. And if it doesn't, we expect that the federal court certainly will, because it's ensconced there in our First Amendment.
If you were to kind of put it in a sentence here, what would you say, at least apparently, the current administration does not understand about the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution?
Well, I don't know what the administration does or doesn't understand. What I understand is that our founding fathers gave us something. They gave us something very important, very crucial, and that is this protection of liberty, of conscience, of everyone's conscience. And this is an easy thing to fix, and we hope the administration does.
Now, can you just give us a thumbnail of the status of the various lawsuits? You mentioned that out of the 14 that have already made it into court, 11 have been successful, but there are probably another 30, am I correct, that are probably
pending? Oh, yeah, that's right. There's dozens of cases out there. Of the 14 business cases, now you've got your business cases. These are family businesses that say, I can't do this. I can't be forced to do this to fund a board of faith and coverage for my employees. That violates my conscience. And so, of the 14 of those that have reached an actual decision, because there's a lot of them pending, but there's of those that have actually reached a decision, 11, the courts have said, you get an injunction. This isn't going to get applied to you, at least for now. And then there's a bunch of other ones that are for nonprofit organizations. Because of that safe harbor that I talked about earlier, where the administration has said, we're not going to enforce this against you right now, even though it is the law, courts have been more reluctant to proceed on those cases. So for the most part, they've stayed the cases or dismissed them pending what happens in August 1st. If the administration hasn't fixed the problem on August 1st, then those cases are going to definitely come roaring back to life. And many of them, frankly, still are going forward. There was a district court decision out of Texas the other day that said a Catholic diocese could go forward with its lawsuit, notwithstanding the safe harbor.
Daniel Blomberg is legal counsel for the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty, based in Washington, D.C. You'll find a link to the Beckett Fund at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Daniel, thank you very much for your time.
My pleasure, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with you. And that means we're going to hear some of your comments, your questions, your criticisms, show suggestions, whatever it may be that we find on the Issues Etc. listener comment line. It's a line that we leave open for our listeners 24/7, 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. It's the Issues Etc. comment line. And we'll hear from you from the comment line and respond right after this. Did you know that Logia, a journal of Lutheran theology, sells CDs and audio downloads of teachings by some of the top Lutheran theologians in the country? Check out Logia's 99-cent download of the month at shoplogia.org, shoplogia.org. You'll also find books published by Luther Academy and, of course, the quarterly Logia Journal at shoplogia.org. Continuing education for the confessional Lutheran, shoplogia.org.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you have a student finishing up eighth grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Ah, the sounds of rich liturgy and historic Christian worship. What a way to spend a Sunday morning. At Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, you'll find authentic Christianity as you hear the preaching of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Come. Join us Sunday mornings at 9 and Monday evenings at 7:30, and find out more about Trinity Lutheran Church, Millstadt, Illinois, at trinitymillstadt.org.